Good morning, y'all. May be seated. I'm not even from Missouri. But I want to welcome Mitch and Marilyn and company this morning. They came all the way up from Wyatt, Missouri to do a concert last night in Wautoma, and they sang at Farmington, and they're also our special music this morning. So warmly welcome, if you will, the Pullen family. Come on, Marilyn, you too. Come on. No. Nice to have them with us, and the plans quickly came together, but I'm glad that they're here. They even like Wisconsin. They said they'd like to spend a little bit more time in Wisconsin. So nice to have them with us, and we'll hear a lot more from Mitch later on and throughout our worship service today. So we're going to modify our service a little bit to accommodate our special music and our special guests. It's indicated pretty clearly in our worship format this morning. And Mitch, when we're having communion, because I've invited the Pullens to be part of our sacramental celebration, if we can just have some pre-recorded music running during communion, would be awesome. Thank you. On page 6, then, we also have a list of our prayer, of our brothers and sisters in need of prayer. But also, since this is the Memorial Day weekend, obviously, we really want to keep in our thoughts our brothers and sisters who are deployed, no matter how or where they are deployed, but also those families that have shared a loved one in the armed services. And so what I'd like to do at this time is all of you that have or are actively serving, will you please stand, men and women, serving our U.S. military. Thank you. Thank you so much. Dr. Lowell Peterson wrote this tremendous book called The Birds Were Silver Then, which are stories of the Vietnam War as told by Dr. Lowell. And one of our own faithful, I want to share his story a little bit this morning. It's Mr. Ken Wall. Ken, in May of 1944, went to boot camp at Camp Perry, Virginia, Gunnery School in Maryland. He took a troop train to San Francisco, went aboard the USS Corbier. Is that how? Corbisser. Okay. It's a destroyer escort number 438 to the Western Pacific Ocean. The ship sailed 100,000 miles in 15 months. It was credited with taking out one aircraft and one submarine. At one time, they went almost 3 months without stopping a screw or the propeller that drives the ship. Ken returned to the States at San Diego, California in November of 1945. Now, 30 years after the Corbisser helped take the island of Okinawa, they have a son who was in the Air Force, an F-15 pilot, who was stationed also in Okinawa, and their two granddaughters were born also. The Walls' two granddaughters were born also in Okinawa. So Ken, thank you for your military service. Walt Whitman wrote a number of years ago that, you know, especially after the Civil War, when the Memorial Day or Decoration Day became, you know, popular, is that it's not the North's dead or the Union's dead and the Confederate's dead or the East Coast dead or the West Coast dead. They're all ours. families all made sacrifices. In closure, here's a quote from that Dr. Lowell has in his book from Robert S. McNamara in 1995. This is specific to the Vietnam War. That our effort in Vietnam proved unwise does not make their sacrifice less noble. It endures for all to see. Let us learn from their sacrifice and by doing so, validate it and honor it. And then here's a motto from the Red River Valley Fighter Pilot Association. They nicknamed themselves the River Rats. I can only imagine what their battle was like. This is their motto. We who came home must never forget those who could not. Here's a recollection from Nelson DeMille from 2002 after he went to visit the Vietnam Memorial. 58,000 names carved into the black stone. And I suddenly saw these men as kids, carefully carving their names into trees, into school desks, into wooden fences. I realized that for every name in the granite, there was a matching name still carved somewhere in America. And their names, too, were carved in the hearts of their families and in the heart of the nation. Let's pause for a silent moment of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, you may be seated, and let's enjoy some special music from Brother Mitch this morning. Welcome.
All right. Let's see here. A while ago, when we were at the Farmington Church, we had a little malfunction with our computer, and Dr. Marilyn got it fixed on the way over here. So, I'd like to tell you who I am. My name's Mitch Pullen. We're from a little town of White, Missouri, population of about 350. hey, now, that's a pretty good-sized town. I've heard they're smaller here in Wisconsin. Brother Mark had mentioned about soldiers. My dad was in the Navy. My dad has passed on, gone on home to be with the Lord, and he died about 17 years ago, and our dad was in the Navy, and he got to come home, and I'm thankful for that. Our son, Brandon, he's in the Air Force, and he is in Oklahoma City. He's an air traffic controller, and loves it, been in there about 10 years. He and his wife are stationed now in Oklahoma. But this song that I'm going to sing you to start with, it says, Daddy was a Jesus man. How many fathers do we have here today? You know, the greatest thing I think my children could ever say about me would be that their dad was a Jesus man. I'm thankful today that I know the Lord, and I'm thankful even more so that he knows me.
First to supply.
wouldn't stand to see one foot down. Little children pushed round. He believed to stand for what's right. No, he won't go down in history as a famous man. He never wore a diamond on his hand. And when the father calls his children to the promised land, he'll be the first to humbly stand. Daddy was a Jesus man. There are times I can't help wishing he could take me fishing, look into his eyes and feel his love. As I cast out on life's waters, I pray to my Father to be the kind of man that he was. No, he won't go down in history to anyone but me. In my eyes, he'll always be a king. And when the Father calls his children to the promised land, I will follow led by Dad's hand. Daddy was a Jesus man. I watched him carry that cross to the end, and his feet grew weary, but he never gave in. No, oh, it won't go down in history to anyone but me. In my eyes, he'll always be a king. And when the Father calls his children to the promised land, I will follow led by Dad's hand. Daddy was a Jesus man. Daddy was a Jesus man. Dad, I'll see you soon. Before I sing this song, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to get to all sing, right? You know, the scripture teaches us that one day will be like 1,000 years. That'll be pretty awesome, won't it? We'll get to have church. One day will just go by. It'll be like 1,000 years. You won't even know what time is. Amen? Y'all be looking at your watch. We're going to get to sing with the saints. Heaven getting ready for an end-it-all celebration, to begin eternity with the righteous congregation. This world's coming to an end and it won't be long. The party's gonna start and go on and on and on. I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble and pain. And I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel band, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints. Amen. Tambourines ringing and David starts to feel the rhythm. Paul and Silas are humming a tune they wrote in prison. Well, Gabriel hears the music and he picks up his horn. It's just another glory hallelujah morn. And I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble and pain. And I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel band, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints. Y'all gonna get to do that with me? If you do it like this. There you go. I think you're getting it. I'm gonna have to wake y'all up this morning, aren't I? Are y'all awake out there? All right. We can have a good time in the Lord, can't we? I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble and pain. And I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel band, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble and pain. And I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel band, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints, and my prayer is that you are too.
Thank you again, Mitch. We'll have the opportunity of offering, making a free will offering. They have some missions they support, and so if you'd like to help out with that, please do so after our worship this morning. There will be an offering plate and a little table or stand set up as you leave the worship area. Also, Marilyn, are CDs available today? Ah, so if you'd like to purchase and or purchase a CD, feel free to do so. Check with Marilyn this morning. I called her Susanna. She said no. It's Marilyn. How I got Susanna and Marilyn, I don't have any idea. So any rate, take advantage of the opportunities. And again, thank you for being a part of our worship this morning. Before we begin our gospel lesson this morning, let's take some time to prepare our hearts and minds both to receive God's word, but also to share God's word. And let's briefly greet one another. The peace of the Lord be with all of you.
And also with you.
Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for forgiving us when we selectively hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for your understanding, your patience, your endless mercy and steadfast love that guides us back always onto the path of life. Lord, open up the eyes of our hearts and minds to accept the fullness of your word and the life it does bring into our lives and the transformation it creates within us. Lord, continue to transform us in doing your will and in being your children as we grow in our maturity as being your children and heirs of your kingdom. Bless us, Lord, as only you can, with your word and your living presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about this lesson this morning, what really struck me is that in both miracles, Jesus spoke a word and lives are changed. And I think that all of you would agree that all of us, male and female, we also suffer from selective hearing. Right, ladies? Selective hearing, particularly in this campaign mode of both parties, we hear selective hearing on all sides of the political spectrum, and selective hearing has also sorely affected all kinds of interpersonal relationships, not just between men and women, but between nations, between nationalities, between languages, between everything that sin causes separation. Even popular theologies today, whether they're in a mainline denomination or non-denominational or whatever it may be, our sinful nature wants us to cherry pick what we like about God's word and then not deal with those words that challenge us or cause us to rethink or to change our perspective so that we see the whole picture. But we have to look at these miracles in light of what just immediately preceded them in the last three verses of Luke chapter 6. Jesus says in this parable, this is what one is like when one hears the word of God and acts on it or obeys it. And they are like a person who built a house on a solid foundation, on a solid rock, and the winds and the waves and the rains of life beat upon that house, and it stood still. It stood firm because it was built on an immovable foundation called the Word of God. Equally, the opposite is true. If we're only hearers of the word and not listeners and therefore doers, the opposite is the result of that. The miracles then show us what this looks like. And so Luke has Jesus' encounter with a very unlikely character, a Roman centurion. A man who grew up his entire life in a pagan, hedonistic, polytheistic environment. And yet, as he says in the lesson, he's a man that, you know, under command, and he knows that when he authorizes a command, that the soldier does what he says he's going to do. So, if that's true then, and we too are kind of unlikely candidates, when God speaks his word, lives are inevitably transformed. And we indeed are given life. But I find it interesting that even as the centurion sends words to Jesus via some Jewish friends, another very unlikely association, but it works for them because the centurion was a philanthropist. And he built them their local synagogue in Capernaum. So surely this man is worthy, disregarding his pagan background and pagan beliefs perhaps, but surely he's worthy because of his good works, that surely you would come and heal his slave. Well, Jesus doesn't need to be convinced. He didn't need to be sold on the idea. And so the centurion says, well, I understand when I speak and give a command, things happen. I expect nothing less in return. Simply speak the word, and my servant, my slave, will be healed. That happened then. That same truth is for us. Hearing, listening to God's Word. The whole of God's Word does one thing. It gives us life. It gives us peace that passes all understanding. It gives us a whole new outlook on our relationships and interpreting things going on in the world. It gives us stability that even in all of the uncertainties of our human life, everything that's unpredictable, everything that changes without a moment's notice, we know that God is always there. Why? Because of His Word, His promise. I am with you always to the end of the age. Last chapter, last verse, last portion of that Gospel of Matthew. I am with you every moment of every day. And to add an additional reinforcement to that is when Jesus approaches the grieving widow and her deceased son. Jesus comes to where they are in this little village of Nain, and in Hebrew the word Nain means pleasant. Kind of ironic, isn't it? There's nothing pleasant about witnessing the death of a child. Nothing pleasant about that at all. Whether it's a car accident, whether it's disease, whether it's military service, even if it's a miscarriage, it's never easy. But as Mitch sang in one of the songs in the earlier service, we don't reach out to God. It is God who always reaches out to us. And Jesus reaches out to this widow and her family's need and says, "Rise up, young man." And he rose. God's Word does the impossible. But God's Word does give us life. And evidence of that is when we hear those words, "My body given and my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." His Word is real. Our forgiveness is real. His offering is real. We are changed and reborn children of God through the power of His Spirit in His Word. I've often told the junior high kids, it's one thing to hear God's Word, it's another thing to listen to it. Listening is important. Selective hearing does not help us in our faith. But God still gives us His whole Word and does so in order that you and I might not only live now, but in the life to come.
I stood there in the courtroom, facing charges on my life. Fate would be decided, would I live or will I die? What Satan didn't know, I had been to Calvary. I did not say a word, I let the blood speak for me. And the words were sounding from the courtroom, not guilty, not guilty, this child is free. Love echoed off the walls, called mercy. Forgive me there.
Mercy for me.
Crimes that I've committed would justly take my life. So I waited for the verdict, condemned and sure to die. as they bound my hands and feet and were taking me away. The judge said, oh, wait a minute, let's hear what the blood has to say. And the words were sounding from the courtroom, not guilty, not guilty, this child is free. Love echoed off the wall, crying mercy. My Savior intervened, oh, let the blood speak for me.
Anybody ever done that? Swallowed a bug, preacher, have you ever done that? It just didn't come out.